are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today. Good morning. Everyone doing all right? Doing good. Hey, God is good. He's on the throne. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Amen and amen. Listen, I'm excited about what God's doing in our church. Isn't it encouraging to hear stories of life change in the next generation? Listen, Pastor Marcus said it. It's not the next generation, they're the now generation. And we're so committed here to raising that up, and it's just awesome to see and awesome to be a part of. God's just doing so many great things through this church. If you have your Bibles, want to open them up to us, we're going to get right to God's word this morning. My name is Pastor Dan, one of the associate pastors here. It's my honor and privilege to get to share with you. Pastor Paul is on vacation this week, some much-needed and well-deserved rest and relaxation, and so I get the honor and privilege to get to share with you this morning God's word. We're in week 11 of a series called Ups and Downs. I trust this God is working through this series in a significant way in your life as we gather together across his word and biblical community. Today, I want to look to a message that's really, really dear and near to my heart because, let's be honest, we live in a chronologically negative world, don't we? All around us, there's negative on the news that we see. There's discouragement that happens in our life again and again. It starts very, very early in life. You may send your kids to school, and they're not picked for any team. And right away, even early in their lives, they feel left out. Then they're 14 years old and a teenager. Gosh, I would hate to be a teenager today with the pressures of social media around us, right? You get on Instagram, and now, thanks to social media, you can measure your popularity. Right? You get on social media and you see, this person got this amount of likes and I got this amount of likes. Why do they have so many more likes and followers than me? Right? When I was a kid growing up, you kind of had to guess who was popular, right? There was like an in crowd and everybody else, you just guessed on where you were in life. Now you can accurately measure it. And it's so concerning that Instagram has actually just kind of released a study that they're in beta testing. They realize that social media is leading to more depressed and discouraged society because we're searching for likes and approval by our posts. That they've just released this study that they're in beta testing of this version of the app, where in this new version of the app, they haven't decided whether or not they're going to go through with it. They're just trying to be on the proactive end. They've decided that they're going to try this version, possibly, of where you can only see the amount of likes on your photo. Nobody else can see them, and you can't see the likes on other people's photos. Why? Because they're saying Instagram is leading to a more depressed and discouraged society. That's crazy, right? I mean, we live in a depressed and discouraged society. And then, right, maybe you're, you know, here today and, you know, you're like, gosh, I'm at church on another Sunday. It's summer. And one of your best friends is like on their second vacation of the year. And you're like, gosh, I just have to come to church and then go home, you know, boring me, woe is me. Or maybe you're here and your other best friend has got a hot date night planned in Philly for tonight. And you're sitting at home eating bologna and cheese, sitting all alone. Right? How many of you know that can be really depressing and discouraging, right? We live in a chronically depressed and discouraging society. And in a world filled with so much negativity, we've got to be focused to fill up on God's word first and foremost, to renew our minds in Christ. Amen. Romans 12:1 says this, offer your bodies as a spiritual act of worship to the Lord. Do not conform to the patterns of this world any longer, but transform your mind by being renewed in Christ and his word. Renewed in who he is. It's amazing how we can go through life and what even seems to be a normal day, and there's so many voices of discouragement, even inner monologue and discouragement, that we have to silence with the word of God. In a world filled with so much negativity today, I want to talk to you about what I believe is one of the most spiritual things that we can do. It's not going to feel very spiritual. It's going to feel pretty practical and normal. But I'm going to argue one of the most spiritual things that we can do is be an encourager. Our God is calling us today to rise up to the mountaintop on this series, week 11 of Ups and Downs, to the mountaintop of encouragement in a world that is constantly tearing people down. In fact, once again, I want to submit it to you. I want to argue it to you today through this message, that one of the most spiritual things you can do in your life is to build others up and encourage them in the things of Christ. In fact, that's why I believe this is so true. Our key thought for today is this. They're going to throw it up on the screens, is that our God is an encouraging God. Everybody say it with me. Say it again. Our God is an encouraging God. You sound good. One more time this morning. Our God is an encouraging God. We see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. It's the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Corinth, and here's what he says. He says these words, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 5 and 6. He said, "When we arrived in Macedonia, there was no rest for us." He said, "We faced conflict from every single direction, with battles on the outside and fear on the inside." Those words just grip my heart. We got battle on the outside, fear on the inside. Battles on the outside, fear on the inside. This really describes so many of our lives right now. So many battles going on. I didn't expect to see that coming. I didn't know what was going to happen there. I'm afraid of what's going to happen. Then you get in our own inner monologue and dialogue, just telling yourself, you're not measuring up. You're not enough. I'm filled with anxiety and fear over what's going to happen next. We got battle on the outside, fear on the inside. And verse 6, he says these words. He says, "But God." Everybody say those words. Say, "But God." Oh, you sound good. One more time. "But God." I'm so thankful for every single negative circumstance that you see in the Bible that is followed by the words, "But God." Because how many of you know when God shows up on the scene, everything has to change? Impossible situations can become possible, not by our might or by our power, but by His Spirit, says the Lord. There's a book by a guy named Herbert Cooper, Pastor Herbert Cooper. He pastors a church out in Oklahoma City. I heard him speak at a couple youth conventions when I was growing up, and he's written a book called "But God," and it talks about God showing up on the scene all throughout the narrative of the Bible. It's a great book. I encourage you to pick it up. But I love it. Herbert Cooper, whenever he's preaching about it, he says, "But God." He says it really funny in a way that I totally just butchered completely. So just ignore that. But I encourage you to check that book out. It's a great book. When God shows up, it doesn't matter what conflict is going on. It doesn't matter what battle is on the outside or fear is on the inside. It has to bow at the name of Jesus. Insecurities have to bow at the name of Jesus this morning. Fear has to bow at the name of Jesus. Discouragement and despair. Are you in a situation that is troubling today? Just call upon the name of the Lord, because at God's perfect timing, He will deliver you. I love that truth today. Here's what he says, though. He says this. The verse goes on. He says, "But God," who does what? "But God, who encourages those who are discouraged," he says these words, "encouraged us by the arrival of Titus." I love this. God encourages those who are discouraged. Listen, I hope today, if you walk into church, if you're watching online right now, I hope if you're hurting or in a situation of despair and loneliness, I hope you walk out of this place today encouraged by being in the presence of the Lord. No matter what your situation is, I hope that you feel encouraged. But the text is really clear that God personally didn't encourage Paul. The text says this: Paul was encouraged in his faith, seeing that the Lord was using his brother Titus to encourage him. You have no idea the power of encouragement from one brother or sister in Christ to another. Have you ever realized this? People have a way of becoming who you encourage them to be. And Paul says this. He says, "I attribute God's hand at work through the life of Titus. God encouraged me through this brother in Christ coming alongside to speak life into me, to speak life into our hopeless situation, to help us in a situation of conflict." Listen, when somebody texts you during your week and said, "All week you've been on my heart. God placed you on my heart. I've been praying for you." That's not somebody just being nice to you. That's God literally showing that He individually and uniquely cares for you, and He's using another brother or sister in Christ to encourage you in the Lord. Because if someone comes up to you after service and they say, "Man, you're an awesome man of faith. I love the way that you worship." That's not them just being nice to you. That's God saying, "I specifically care about you as individuals, and I want to encourage you in the Lord." I want to encourage you. In fact, the goal of today's message is not that you would just be encouraged. I want to encourage you through this message today to be an encourager. to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And from that overflow of being so full of God, because we have nothing good in ourselves, you take that love for God and you pour it into encouraging people. Listen, if you leave this place today and go out in the cafe and say, Pastor Dan says I need to be encouraged. I'm waiting for someone to encourage me. Don't wait for someone to encourage you, because it probably won't happen. You be the one who seeks to reach out and be a voice of encouragement in a world that is in discouragement and despair. And I promise you, as you speak encouragement and life into others, you have no idea the impact that you will make on their lives and the destiny that could be changed when God flows through you for his purpose and plan to be fulfilled, to be a voice of encouragement into someone's life. I'll illustrate this way with a story, and I don't tell this story for any reason than just to give glory to God and to just show you the impact of what one word of encouragement can mean to somebody. A couple years ago, there was a guy who came to the church. I won't mention his name just because I didn't ask him if I could share the story. We'll call him Jim for context of this story. And Jim walked in on a Sunday morning, and I was out in the lobby just doing my Pastor Dan thing, just shaking hands and nodding my head and smiling. Yes, I know you all make fun of me for it. I was like, hey, how's it going? Doing all right? Yeah, awesome. God is good. So I'm just smiling, shaking my head. I know all the teenagers in the back are laughing because they picked on me about forever. But I'm just, you know, introducing myself. And I saw this guy walked in, and little do I know the backstory to Jim's life, but Jim wanted nothing to do with this church. The only reason he was here on this Sunday was because him and his wife were on the verge of divorce. And she said, if you don't come to church, it's officially over. So Jim shows up on this Sunday not wanting to be here and not wanting anything to do with church. He already had his preconceived thoughts about what church was like, but we connected a couple months later for lunch, and he told me this. He said, I'll never forget the first time I met you, because I had all these thoughts about church, and then you came to know me and spoke a word of encouragement, and I literally felt God's love come into my heart in that moment. Listen, you have no idea the impact of one word of encouragement can be in someone's life. You have no idea the impact when God's love radiates through you with a smile, when God's love radiates through you with a warm word of encouragement, when you greet people with the love of Christ. Listen, that's why we have greeters here at the church. That's why we have parking lot team. We're not just trying to make church better or nicer. We're trying to be an expression of encouragement of the presence of God to a lost and dying world. Listen, if our mission is no one without Jesus, then it starts with you and I rolling up our sleeves and being a voice of encouragement to every single person in this earth. I guarantee you, if we have eyes to see, ears to hear what God wants to say to this church, you have no idea how he can use you to be a voice of encouragement to a lost and dying world. Today in this message, I just want to give you three quick points. Three of the most spiritual things you can do to make a difference in a discouraging world. Three of the most spiritual ways you can make a difference. The first point, it's going to be up there if you're taking notes, is this. I want to encourage you first and foremost to encourage others daily. To encourage others daily. Why? Because the voices of discouragement are so real and so constant. You do something at work and somebody else says to you, well, that wasn't good enough, right? You come home and your spouse says, you didn't wash the dishes yet. You know, you invite your in-laws over. They're trying to tell you how to parent your kids. The voices of discouragement and despair are really real in our culture. Let's just add on to that the internal voices in our lives that we put upon ourselves saying, you're not enough. You're not the right size or weight. You'll never measure up. You're inadequate. And that's why the writers of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 3. 3:13, he says this, encourage one another daily. How often are we supposed to encourage one another? Daily. How often are we supposed to encourage one another? Daily. Why? So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Every single day, we should be a tool of God's voice to encourage other people. That's why I have a rule. I've said this at the church when I preach before. I say this sometimes on the teams that I lead here at the church. If you see something good, say it. If you see a person do something good, say it. If you see someone do something good, you don't get to see them, text them about it after. We should have a rule that we should be the most encouraging church and friendliest church in the community. Why? Because one voice of encouragement inspired by the words of the Holy Spirit can speak life into somebody's dry bones. If I think something good, I'm going to say it. See, compliments cost us nothing, yet many pay dearly for them. So anytime I think something good, I must say it. Somebody's saying, Pastor Dan, that doesn't sound really spiritual. Scripture backs it up. John 15, 12. My command is this, Jesus says, love each other as I have commanded you. One of the best ways that we can show God's love is being loving to his people. Love God, love his people. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. Ephesians 4:29, I know this verse very well because anytime that I would get in trouble for saying something that I shouldn't say, my mom made me write this verse 50 times growing up. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that for which is useful for building one another up. God bless you. In fact, that's why discussion groups, that's why life groups, that's why ministry teams are so important in this church. Listen, we don't just want you to get in a group. We don't want you to just join a team so that we can pat our numbers and say, look how our church is growing. Look how our organization is getting more people. We literally want you to join a group because that's how you do life as a follower of Jesus. One of Satan's greatest tactics is to steal, kill, and destroy, and to isolate you. Because when you're around one another in community, you know what you do? You encourage one. Oh, you're doing great. Oh, I know you got problems or issues this week. Let's talk about it together. Let's pray about it together. Have you ever realized this? You may come to a life group or sit with a couple Christian friends and you tell them about your problems and you leave and nothing changes in your circumstance. But because someone encouraged you, you have new perspective and feel so much better about your outlook on life. You're encouraged in the Lord. That's why life groups are so important. It's community of faith doing what Proverbs says, being iron sharpening iron to each other. Listen, nobody is exempt to this. Every single person, if they're in isolation, will live in discouragement. And I'll just be honest with you, I am incredibly vulnerable to discouragement in my own life. Be really, really transparent with you this morning. I think you lead with your strengths. I think you connect with people through your weaknesses. And I'll just be really transparent about this. I don't want anybody to feel sorry about me, and you don't have to text me after. I'm good. I'm telling you this just for sake of illustration. I'll be really honest. A lot of, obviously, ministry that you guys see is very visible for pastors, especially, you know, Pastor Paul's role and my role. It's leading worship. It's on the stage. It's in front of people. It's preaching on Sundays. And that's probably about 10% of the job of what a pastor actually does. But a lot to you people who may not know me well or Pastor Paul well, that's a lot of visual. It's very upfront. And I can relate. I know Pastor Paul feels the same way a lot of times. I know a lot of our worship leaders feel the same way this time. It's very rare that I ever get off the stage on a Sunday morning and feel really good about a message that I preached. It's really rare that I ever get off the stage. I hit all those wrong notes there. I messed up in this moment. It's really, really rare. Wow, I care so much about representing God well. I care so much about doing the best that I can, and I'm a human being, and I know that I mess up. I know I get my words twisted up. I know I should have said things. Gosh, I shouldn't have said that thing right there. I should not have said that. And there's just, it's what's called the Sunday afternoon struggle. It's this moment for pastors where you walk away from Sunday afternoon after ministering the gospel to people, to his church. You should be encouraged and excited, and you're actually feeling down and depressed. And that's why they had this rule when I was in Bible college, nobody quits on Mondays because it doesn't matter how bad your Sunday was. Tuesday will get better if you can just keep your head up. And I'll just be really honest with you. Those are the times in my life most where I just need a word of encouragement. And there's this person in our church, let me tell you, I don't even know him very well just from greeting him and seeing him on a Sunday morning. I don't know if we've ever gotten coffee or connected outside of church. He's in his mid-70s, but he has literally been life to my soul. He's been encouragement to me. His name is Hilborn Wells. Every single time that I preach on a Sunday, a lot of Sundays when our team leads worship, he'll email me and he'll tell me just encouraging things about our church, about myself and our team. I'll read you one of his emails. Yeah, you can clap for the Lord and for Hilborn. Here's what he says. He says this. Here's one of his emails from June 24th, last time I preached. My brother, I enjoyed your message this morning. Your message was good, on target, and had substance. It was a message of encouragement, which we all, parentheses, I need. You had good delivery. I could see that you allowed the Holy Spirit to control you and to present an important message that is very much needed to the environment we live in. God bless you, your brother Hill. P.S., thank you for the awesome praise band we have. We have the best worship team on the planet, brother Hill. Isn't that awesome? And that maybe took him 5 minutes to send that email. And to him, it probably meant nothing to him in that moment. He just probably saw something and he just wanted to say it. But you don't know the idea of the impact that that had to my soul. Just encouragement and just life to me. And I know that many of us are in situations far more discouraging and far more worse than my situation is. Can I encourage you, even though you may be down, even though you may be despair, to look for opportunities to speak life into one another? You have no idea how someone's destiny can be changed when you use the words that God's given you to speak life into somebody else. In fact, the author of Hebrews said this in chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. He said this, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another towards acts of love and good works." Imagine just sitting around thinking, hey, how can we be more encouraging today? Hey, I wonder how I can love that person better today. Hey, that person is generous. I wonder how I can spur them on even more towards generosity. Hey, I see so much potential in that person. I wonder how I can meet with them and learn more from it, and then just encourage them in the gifting that God has. Here's what he also says. He says this, "Then let us not neglect our meeting together, church, small groups, ministry teams, as some people do, but we are going to encourage one another, especially now that we see the day of his returning drawing near." Amen. I don't know about you, but I really need encouragement in my life. Therefore, first and foremost, I'm going to look to be filled with God's presence and give encouragement to others. Because if I need it in my life, they need it just as much as I do. And listen, I said it once already in this message. The goal of today's message is not to walk out into the cafe and everybody to just encourage you. The goal of today's message is to be encouraged first in the Lord and go away and say, how can I be an encouragement to somebody else's life? Daily. The second thing we're going to do is we got to encourage one another spiritually. We're going to be a voice of encouragement to others spiritually. Somebody does good on their project at work. Hey, you did great on that project there. Awesome job. Somebody redoes their house and they paint their house differently and they, you know, do some construction and your house looks awesome. Somebody gets their hair cut, whether you like it or not, you know what you say? Your haircut looks great because they're stuck with it for the next 6 weeks. You encourage them, right? And that is great. And that will speak life into somebody, but it only gets you so far. Paul said this in Romans chapter 1, verses 10 and 12. "One of the things I always pray for is the opportunity, God willing, to come at last and to see you." Then he said this, "For as long to visit you, I want to bring you a spiritual gift that will help you grow strong in the Lord." What Paul is saying is, whenever I'm around the body of Christ, I don't only just want to say nice haircut or nice shoes that you got or your house looks great. I want us to be iron sharpening iron, speaking words of encouragement and things that spiritually build us up in the Lord. It could be as simple as this. It could be as simple as somebody leads worship on a Sunday and they do a great job. Man, the way that you worship really inspires me. I can see you're really close to Jesus. That builds them. You know, maybe somebody raises their kids really, really great, and you're like, man, I can see that you're a man of God or a woman of God. I love the way that you raise your kids and pray with them. I wish I could aspire to be that. You know what that does? That builds life into them. Parents, it's as simple as this. Your kid scores the game-winning goal on the soccer field, and you say, hey, that was a great goal. That's a bit of encouragement. To make it spiritual, you can say this. God has clearly given you a gift. I can see that you're stewarding it for his glory and his honor. How can I look for opportunities to take simple words of encouragement, but then build upon it and take it spiritually? Paul says this, you know what we're doing? We're building each other deep in the Lord. Deep in the Lord. And lastly today, I want to close with this, and here's where we'll kind of camp out with the remainder of today's message. Number three, after we encourage others daily, and then we encourage others spiritually, the third thing I'm going to tell you, it may actually surprise you, but it's really, really important as well. See, one of the most important things that you can do as a follower of Jesus Christ is to encourage yourself in the Lord. One of the most spiritual things you can do in your life is to encourage yourself in the Lord. In fact, let me show you a really, really powerful example of this in the Bible. It's from the Old Testament, Psalm chapter 42. Let me give you the context. David is massively distressed. If you don't know what he's done, he has literally just committed adultery with a woman who was married to somebody else. Then got her husband sent off to war, put at the front lines, got him killed, got this lady pregnant, Bathsheba pregnant, and the baby has passed and died. And so David's in this season. He's mourning. He's regretting what he's done. He's realized that he's sinned. He's depressed. He's not feeling the presence of God. He's seeking the Lord. He's not hearing things. And he pens one of the most real and authentic psalms of the Bible. Here's what he says. Psalm 42, verse 1. He says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, God, so my soul longs for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet God? My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng." And he's in this cycle of just, God, I know that I messed up. I feel so depressed. I feel shameful. I feel guilty. I'm trying to repent to you. God, I'm showing you that I'm hungry for you. God, I'm showing you that I need you, but I'm still discouraged and nothing's changing in my life. And he's in this cycle, but he does something in verse 5, and it's kind of a strange technique, but we must encourage ourselves in the Lord. Instead of listening to himself, he starts preaching to himself. Here's what he says in verse 5. He says, "Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why are you disturbed within me? Put your hope in the Lord, for I will yet praise him." Would you like to know how to keep yourself encouraged in a discouraging world? Because you need to know, there aren't going to always be people to give you encouragement when you need it. Part of being a grown Christian is learning to grow yourself and encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to learn to encourage yourself. Listen, if you text me and encourage me, I appreciate that. If you come up to me after service and give me a hug, I really appreciate that. If you text me this week and say you want to spend time with me and you encourage me, I appreciate that. But listen, if you get too busy or forget about me, I'm okay, because I can encourage myself in the Lord, because greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Because I can't always count on a text. And I can't always count on a hug. And I can't always count on a relationship. And I can't always count on my friends. But I can encourage myself and in Christ and what he's done through the death and resurrection and who he is to me through the word of God. And that is my strength. Instead of listening to your doubts and your thoughts and your anxiety and fears, you have to start preaching to yourself. David says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Put your hope in the Lord." Listen, if I wake up most mornings and I ask myself how I'm feeling, I'll be honest with you. Most mornings, it's probably 50-50 at best, right? You're tired. You don't want to get out of bed. You're discouraged about some things that happen. And that's why I must wake up every morning and say, it's not about my feelings. It's about faith in the word of God. And you say, today we're going to be blessed. Today is going to be a day where we take new ground for the kingdom of God. Today we're going to encourage people in the Lord. The righteous shall live by faith. Today will be a day, by God's strength, I will not be perfect, but I will live my faith out for his glory. How do you do that? You encourage yourself in the Lord. See, sometimes you have to put yourself in your place. You must say, fear must bow in the presence of God. Anxiety has to break in the presence of God. So somebody, you know, you need to start giving God praise in your life instead of worrying about the pressures that are ahead of you. How do you do that? You put your faith in the Lord. You put the word of God always on your lips, as the psalmist says, "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever." God, I know that I'm not where I'm at right now. God, I know my feelings are not where they should be. Listen, that's why I beg with you. That's why I plead with you to have a time with Jesus, to have devo time with Jesus, to memorize scripture. Why? So when the enemy places thoughts of discouragement within you, when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, listen, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but principalities under the sun. When the enemy comes to isolate you, some of you say, "Pastor Dan, that's easy for you. You're a preacher." Well, you just start getting your preach on, baby, and you say, "Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world." You recall on what scripture says, "You will never leave me nor forsake me." Jesus, I stand firm in who I am today because of who you are. Psalm 27, "The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid? You keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed upon me. I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. Whether I have all that I need or whether I don't have it, I can do all things through Christ." And as you hide God's word in your heart, Psalm 119:11, your word have I hidden in your my word have I hidden in your heart that I might not sin against you. You can recall that in moments of discouragement, and you can encourage yourself in the Lord. Every now and then, you just need to start encouraging yourself in the Lord. See, when the voices of discouragement will tear you down, you must say, no, I have to encourage myself in the Lord. I have to encourage myself in the Lord. There's somebody here today, and you need to hear this, because you walked in today, and the voices of discouragement are so real. They're so heavy. They're saying you're not gonna make it. They're saying you're never gonna get past this. They're saying you're never gonna get things to work out. You're not gonna make it through this season of life. Why bother even trying? Just give up. Give up on faith. Give up on church. It's only leading to more problems and discouragement in your life. On and on, there's trouble on the outside and fear on the inside. What do? You embrace the truth that above all things, we serve a God who encourages those who are discouraged. And as a result of this message, you encourage yourself in the Lord. And as you get so filled up with the Lord, this lifestyle, once again, of loving God first and foremost, spending time with Jesus, walking with Jesus daily. And as you get filled with his presence and you get filled with his love, suddenly you know what he does? He starts giving you spiritual eyes to love a lost and dying world. People who aren't like you, people who are different from you. But you know what? People who are valuable to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and share inherent value, because every soul matters to Jesus, and you can speak life to a lost and dying world. As you get filled with his presence, to be an encouragement, to not to seek what we're gonna get from others by coming to church, to not just be spiritual consumers, but to be spiritual contributors for the kingdom of God. I wanna close with one last story today. Just shows the power of encouragement and why I kinda am where I'm at here today. Many of you know I went to Bible College, Oral Roberts University, when I was in college. And one of the big emphasis of ORU was missions, sending out short-term mission trips for 2 weeks, a month, 2 months. And I went on a trip to Cape Town, South Africa one summer. And then the next summer, I got asked to lead a trip to Bolivia for a team. And craziest idea ever that they allowed a 20-year-old kid to lead a mission trip to Bolivia with a team of other students. All the trips are student-led. I had $8,000 strapped to my waist at all time in cash to hold us for the week. Just absolute, they should never allow somebody to be doing that. And I learned a lot through the experience, I can say that for sure. Probably where I'm at today, you know, the Lord just kind of guided your steps through the process. But I'll never forget one of the things that they were so big on in ORU missions. And one of the things that's really kind of just become so important to me personally was one of the things that they did on the last days of the trip. They had every team leader, you'd kind of have your tourist day, team day, you'd get some food together and, you know, kind of visit a tourist section of town. And they would have everybody pull aside at the end, and you just debrief the trip. You talk about the highs, you talk about the lows, you talk about where you saw God move, you talk about the things that are weighing in your heart, some of the culture shock that you're gonna have to adapt to going back to the States. And then you just took a moment where you circled up after that and you placed one person in the middle, and you and your team individually went around and encouraged and spoke life into that person. Every single person just encouraged and spoke what they saw in that person on that trip. And somebody was there, was the writer. They jotted it down, journaled it on this nice piece of paper and gave it to him. I still have those papers today where people spoke life into me. Listen, you have no idea how destinies could be changed. You have no idea how the communities of Delran and Cinnaminson could be reached for Jesus if we would just get serious about being a voice of encouragement to a lost and dying world. Listen, the world has enough discouragement in it right now. The world has enough negativity right now. And we as followers of Jesus aren't going to win people to Christ by having lifestyles that don't align with the Word of God. Listen, it's not about how much you can win a political rant on social media. It's not about how much knowledge you know. If we hear the word of God that comes across today, but our lifestyle is not a lifestyle of speaking life and encouraging people, people don't want what we have. It doesn't matter how much you know about faith. It doesn't matter how much you know about Jesus. It doesn't matter that you come to church 4 times a week and go to every single small group. If your lifestyle is not a life of loving Jesus and then loving people by speaking words of encouragement, I would argue you're not a Christian. Faith without works is dead, but saving faith works. a lifestyle of genuinely, God, I encountered you. I met you, and I'm not perfect, and I'm going to sin, and I'm going to fail. Listen, I miss the mark all the time, every day. But when I come before the Lord, I get filled with his presence, and then this lifestyle of just loving people will flow with a heart to speak life in a lost and dying world. A lot of our youth students know this because this was probably one of our most popular phrases when I was a youth pastor. Youth have a way of just being honest with each other. We'll just say, being giving each other words sometimes. Marcus knows, right? And one of the best things that I would just kind of always say was, hey, speak life. Speak life. May the meditations of our heart, may the words of our mouth, may they be words of life in this church to each other to build one another up and then to a world that needs Jesus. Amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.